Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The Treasury Department is expected to confirm today the country has hit its debt ceiling. While Republicans want to make budget cuts before increasing the limit, Democrats say it would risk a default. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
We could see furloughing of government employees. Now we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people. Some of those government employees being forced to work, but not getting paid. We're also talking about things like delaying Social Security checks. Maybe you won't get your tax refund on time. Maybe you won't go to a national park.
For now, the Treasury is expected to announce it's shifting money between accounts and temporarily holding off payments to some federal employees. A district attorney in Santa Fe, New Mexico, is set to announce whether charges will be brought in the deadly shooting on the set of Alec Baldwin's movie Rust. Trial attorney Rachel Fizay tells CBS Mornings the people in charge of set safety are in biggest legal jeopardy.
What the investigators and the prosecutors have been evaluating for the last 14 months is who knew the risks on the set that relate to serious injury or death.
The gun was in Baldwin's hand when it went off and killed the cinematographer. Security video caught it all. Five inmates escaping into a parking lot at a jail in Farmington, Missouri, hopping into a car, ditching their orange jumpsuits and driving away. That was Tuesday night, and they still haven't been found. David Sparks lives nearby.
Being this close to the correction facility, I didn't really expect that. And to find out there was five instead of maybe just one. So that was a bit of a shock.
Three of the inmates are known sex offenders. So much for a drink a day being okay.
Canadian health officials are now warning that no amount of alcohol is good for you. And even drinking at small levels can cause harm. The new standards say the risk is low for those who have two drinks or less a week, moderate for 3 to 6 a week, and increasingly high for those who consume 7 or more. Risks include high blood pressure and heart disease. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
The newest contraband at the southern border? Eggs. Charles Payne with U.S. Customs and Border Patrol in El Paso.
We saw about 108% increase in the number of egg products and poultry products coming over into the United States at the end of last year.
Americans are grappling with egg shortages from an outbreak of bird flu and prices that have jumped 60% from a year ago. And his family's asking for prayers for Florida Congressman Greg Stube, who was injured when he fell off the roof of his home in Sarasota. No word on his condition. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The embattled vice chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission says he has no plans to step down. Bob Spindell tells Channel 27 in Madison there's nothing wrong with praising Republican efforts in Milwaukee, which led to a drop in turnout among Black and Hispanic voters. The commission oversees elections in Wisconsin. Spindell was also one of the fake Trump electors. Democratic state senators yesterday called for Spindell to resign or be removed from the commission. Changes are coming to Culver's. The Wisconsin-based burger chain is trading Pepsi for Coke. A Culver's spokesperson says it will take some time to make the switch. There are 800 Culver's in 26 states. Root beer and Dr. Pepper are staying put. In sports, Marquette beat Providence last night 83-75. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK Radio.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
You can text us at that same number. I want to welcome again 97.9 FM WGBD Green Bay and 98.3 FM WISS Oshkosh. And my guest is a good friend from many years ago, none other than Attorney Jim Santel, who is a former U.S. attorney appointed by then President Barack Obama. It's good to have you be in the room with you again over the airwaves.
Earl, it is great to be with you again, my friend. Delighted to spend some time in conversation with you about many important issues.
You are now my colleague at
Civic
Media. Right. And so I'm excited, man, that we're back together again.
I'm delighted to be with you, as always.
And so, I'm the kind of person that, you know, wouldn't want to live anywhere else. America is the greatest nation on earth. There's no question
it is. Absolutely.
But to think that we don't have some issues we need to work through,
right,
is you know, a misconception.
Right. And if I can jump on my soapbox right away,
absolutely,
it is a good thing, you and I agree in this, as do your listeners, it is a good thing that we live in a nation where we can sit around and talk the good things, but also talk about the things that our government needs to do that are not doing, and to criticize people who are not doing their jobs.
No,
right?
No question.
That's America.
It's one of the reasons why I always say, even in the face of our shortcomings, I couldn't do this. Or we couldn't do this almost anywhere else.
Right. Absolutely.
People say all times that I don't love America. Man, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else.
And it's just the opposite, once again. It's because you do love America that you say, I want it to be the very, not only the best nation on the face of the planet. Is there such a thing as a perfect nation? Probably not. But I want it to aspire to that point where all people of all immutable characteristics, race, national origin, religion, faith, orientation, all those kinds of familial status, economic status, have access to things across the board, fairly and equitably.
So to give people an idea, because people who listen are average everyday Joes like me, you were the former U.S. attorney,
yes,
appointed by then President Barack Obama. What are the duties of a U.S. attorney?
Sure. I will say at the outset, and you and I have talked about this before, Earl, I am very proud of the fact that the president who appointed me is named Barack Obama, as you just indicated. And as you know, the process is that while the senators are involved at that time, two different senators here in the state of Wisconsin, they're involved in the process. But ultimately what happens is the president nominates, the Senate confirms U.S. attorneys, just like judges and other appointed officials. And so I had the great opportunity, after about 25 years of service as an assistant United States attorney, a civil servant, a non-political, to be selected by our senators and by the president to serve as the chief law enforcement officer for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, basically the eastern 28 counties. If you just slice the state sort of in thirds, the eastern section of that, where most of the population is. All the population is important, but the great majority of the population obviously is still sort of crowded into the eastern side. And the responsibility, again, also very proud to have worked for a fellow named Eric Holder. He was my boss for about 5 years or so.
It's hard to even wrap your mind around how many other attorneys would be under you. And in a situation like that.
Right, exactly. And so there is a staff. Again, I was one of them. I served under seven different attorneys general and many, many other U.S. attorneys, apolitically, without partisan politics. We'll chat about that, I'm sure. But the notion is that, you know, a U.S. attorney does not do everything herself or himself.
Right.
He or she is in many ways the voice piece for the Department
of
Justice.
You're responsible for that.
Ultimately responsible. And responsible for all the civil litigation, all the criminal prosecution that is done. If there is something that goes right, something goes wrong, ultimately it's that U.S. attorney that is responsible to whom? Yes, indeed, to the Attorney General of the United States of America, but also to the people who ultimately got that Attorney General there, and that's the people of the state of Wisconsin, people of the United States of America. So in a very real way, responsive to the needs of the community when it comes to ensuring law enforcement, that crimes are addressed, that civil needs are addressed, all kinds of things under the federal umbrella that are responsible, that the U.S. attorneys are responsible for ensuring are done. There are 93 different districts in the entire country, 93 U.S. attorneys out there. And so all of them given responsibility through the attorney general, ultimately from the president, to enforce the law.
So average American voters like those in the listening audience and including myself, I was reading this article this morning about Amazon.
Yes.
And Amazon and OSHA. Fining Amazon for so many people being injured with their high speed and and dangerous system that they have set up that moves all of these.
Gets your packages
That how quickly they can get this done. But none of us see how they make the sausage,
right?
None of us see that. But there are people who make this happen. And they are being injured, horribly, and we don't get to hear that. So, so to make a long story short, Amazon was fined for these practices, and OSHA. I don't know if OSHA is the entity. They certainly can charge the people, but I don't know if they're the ones who create the fines and what the fines will be. But right away, when I'm reading this, I'm expecting millions and millions of dollars of fines, which would deter the company from continuing to do that. I thought that's the purpose of having fines. And yet they charged them $68,000. I'm talking about Amazon.
Right. A multi-billion dollar industry, right?
Yes.
Can
you help explain?
A little bit of insight, although I scratch my head too along with you, my friend Earl, when I think about this particular instance.
No, it doesn't have to be that particular instance, but just the whole concept.
And so the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, the words are right there, right? It is a commission. It is an entity, again, of the federal government, established by the Congress many years ago, given statutory authority to make certain that, again, as we talked already, that employees across the board in companies, one of the rights, of course, of companies is to make a profit. But in order to benefit from the United States of America, you have to also abide by the rules. And that makes certain, as you just indicated, that your employees are safe and they're secure. And if you don't do that under the statutory commission given to OSHA, OSHA can come in, again, Most often it's based upon some so-called whistleblower coming in and say, right. You know what, either I, my friends, there's a situation here. Where, and probably that, I don't recall exactly how this happened with Amazon. Probably somebody came forward and said, there are people here who are in danger. Yes. Come in and investigate. And OSHA, again, by virtue of this authority given to it by the federal government, civil servants come in and they do the investigation. They talk to people. They look at the floor. They look at the machines. They look at all the trappings of the work there. And they make findings about what happened.
They look at the number of injuries.
Absolutely. Right. Who was injured? Under what circumstances? How did this happen? And then also, you know, it's not simply, and frankly, you've got it right on the head. It's all about deterrence, but it's also about identifying how we rectify this, okay. Right? And part of that is to say, you've got to pay some fines here. You've got to make certain that you know that what you have done, whatever the company is, including Amazon, what you have done has compromised the safety and security of your employees. And then also, and I have to believe that this decree, if you will, this order from OSHA also says, and oh, by the way, you've also got to do the following 10, 15 things or so. Again, I don't know what the exact number might be of things to remedy this so we don't have continuing problems like this.
But you know, Jim, you don't, again, in my opinion, begin to do that with a $60,269 fine.
Right, right.
I remember when they first created OSHA, I worked in industry for 34 years, and the industry that I worked in was the auto industry, and when I came in as a young guy of 18 years old, there were guys with fingers cut off, yes, and hands cut off, and right, and it was a butcher shop. Mm-hmm. And then OSHA was created. Mm-hmm. And many of the guys I worked with, by the time they got to be my age now, couldn't hear, mm-hmm, couldn't see,
right,
had been poisoned by carcinogens. Right. And OSHA came into existence, mm-hmm, to protect.
Right, the future employees, future, yes, generations, right? Right.
Yeah, and,
right,
and so my point to you is that regulations, and so we hear people arguing about too many regulations hurt business. Do people really understand, right, the purpose, right, of regulations? Right. Can you explain it?
Absolutely, and I think, again, you and I are the same view on this. I am one of those people that believes that, yes, private industry and private individual responsibility for things we do are very important, but government has a big role to play. Look at all the wonderful things that government does do, imperfectly, once again.
Right.
Could you imagine a nation where we did not have government involved in ensuring the safety of our water? We did have that, right?
Yes.
Until we had the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act and those kinds of things, all sorts of agencies, education, healthcare, including the employment setting. So government does all that, again, not with precision always, not timely, but nonetheless has to come in. And the question then is, what do you do to remedy the problem that you find? I don't know exactly what the I haven't looked at it with sufficient clarity yet, but the $65,000 fine may be in response to a particular incident, that sort of thing. I'm not justifying it at all. But it certainly strikes me on first blush that in order to do, and let's talk about that word you used before, which is the all-important focus here, deterrence, right? You want to specifically deter this company from ever doing whatever it is you've done before. You want to make certain that they're deterred from putting in place machinery that threatens to cut off the limbs, right, and fingers of workers there. And then you also want to do general deterrence, which is, and it's a virtue of the fact that we've got access to it this morning. When you read about this and I read about this and other Amazon-like companies out there, any other company out there, regardless of what you do, says, oh boy, OSHA, admittedly, a very small slap on the wrist, but OSHA is looking at us, that's general deterrence. So maybe you've got companies, CEOs going in this morning and saying, you know what, Amazon just got in some trouble, a little bit of trouble. We need to make certain that we are complying with what we need to do. That's general deterrence out there, and that's the other reason why you do these kinds of things.
Well, you know, I see you, Jacob. I'm sorry, man. I forgot you were there. We'll come to you after the break. 844-967-2789. My good friend Jim Santil and colleague is in the studio. What's the name of your show again?
It's called Morning Cannolis, a silly name for a serious show.
Right? All right. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way.
Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 37 this afternoon under overcast skies. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance of snow showers. Lows dip down to about 26. Overcast skies tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 30. A dusting of snow tonight with another inch Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Jim Santel, former. Does it bother you if I keep using former?
It does not at all. That's why okay. I'm very proud of that fact. And also say, love the Stevie Wonder music here. Yeah. This is terrific.
Yeah,
one of my favorites.
U.S. attorney.
All right.
That was appointed by then President Barack Obama. Let's go to Jacob, man. Jacob from California, Eureka, California. Thank you very much for the call, man. Sorry, I got so caught up with having a dialogue with my friend Jim from way back. But go ahead.
So, any politician who would say that we should get rid of regulations and get rid of OSHA is a politician who should never get your vote. That's a corrupt politician on the payroll of corporate violators, okay? You know, about 5,000 people die every year in America due to industrial accidents. They die on the job because of the job. But, of course, that used to be much worse, much higher than 5,000 a year prior to the regulations, prior to OSHA. And the whole point is, it's our government. Their job is to protect us, not to protect a bunch of greedy corporate entities who are just paying off right-wing Republican politicians. And Earl, I just wanted to say something to you about a subject you brought up last hour. You brought up the subject of that neo-Nazi North Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. She didn't have any committee assignments in the House.
She's on the Department of Homeland Security, man.
Yeah.
I know.
What she's going to do, she's going to finally give us the location of the Death Star of David. We're going to finally find out what a Jewish space laser is. Come on. This is ridiculous.
But it's real, man. Hey, thank you. Thank you very much for waiting, Jacob. Thank you, as always, man. Always good comments. Let's bring on, and then we'll give Jim a chance to respond to you. But let's bring on Chris. Is that from Harvard?
Harvard, Illinois.
Harvard, Illinois. Hey, Chris, thank you very much for the call. You say what?
This is a little offshoot here. My husband works at a company that started in 1920, and my dad started there. And a lot of it, it's not necessarily government or OSHA. The rules are there. And they have meetings where OSHA comes in and tells people what to do, what to wear. And there are so many people who will not follow the rules, whether it be a helmet, whether it be goggles. Example, goggles are supposed to be worn for, you know, if you're it's industrial, like electrical engineering type of, you know. And a lot of the people, you know, you don't need babysitters. You guys are men and women, so you go to work. And you know what you're supposed to do. If you don't want to protect yourself, and then you're going to sue the company, that's why so many companies are closing down and having issues, is because then when people lose a tip of their finger, they sue. They know what they're supposed to do. I mean, it's so remedial. You know what you're supposed to do, and you like your job, you like your paycheck and insurance and bonuses.
So Chris, it's safe to say that you don't think regulations, you think the regulations impede the company and bring a lot of
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, I think that people don't, when the people from OSHA, the people come in and instruct people, let's say a new machine comes in, you know, people are more concerned about what's on their phone or eating lunch, or, you know, they have to rally people, so the company is trying to protect their employees, and half the employees don't have any concern about protecting themselves.
Well, so
and then when something happens,
so you're talking to a guy who spent 34 years in industry, who was exposed to all sorts of carcinogens, poison.
Absolutely,
poison. The water was no good. We found all these things out later on, and many of us. My coworkers died early deaths. And so the company was aware of those things. But yet those companies got slaps on the wrist. Because, I'm sorry.
No, babe. Go ahead.
And so I'm saying, companies, nobody's saying we want companies to go out of business. They have their role. But a company is not more important than the life of an individual, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
I think there's nothing more valuable than a human life. But that's not the case in this society.
And Earl, if I can add, just I think the bridge between what Chris is saying and what you've said, both incredibly important things, is about personal responsibility. Chris, I think that's your point, right? Personal responsibility.
Correct.
It's also about, I'm hearing Chris, you talk about, and Earl, supervision, right? So the person who's in charge of the office, wherever that is, whatever the entity is, that person on the floor has got to say, Jim, Earl, wear your goggles, right?
Yes.
And the point.
Where are you?
Right. And the point.
Steel-toed boots.
Sure. And so
steel-toed boots.
Yep. And the point of OSHA then is to come in and say, if the company is not imposing upon that direct supervisor the obligation to say, Earl and Jim, knock it off, abide by the rules, then the company is going to get in trouble. They're going to get fines. They're going to get, right? And that's how the system works. It's a combination of personal responsibility, that's what you're talking about, Chris, but also what, you know, Earl and you are also talking about, which is ensuring the company has the supervisors in place that can say, these are they're posted, they're enforced. You're walking the grounds and making sure that people comply.
Absolutely. And, you know, like steel-toed boots, they have an allowance. They give their employees money because some can't afford it, you know, steel-toed boots. And then some guys come back and go, I don't like them. I'm not going to wear them. I don't want them.
Well,
you know,
Chris,
what happens when they cut their toes up?
Chris,
you know,
all I want to say to you, Chris, is for 34 years, 18 years old or 52 years old, I worked in industry, and I didn't see anybody not wear steel-toe boots, or I didn't see anybody not wear safety glasses. Oh, okay, so I'm a throwback.
It's sad, honey.
Okay.
It's sad.
Hey, Chris, we've got to go to a break. Thank you very much for listening.
You guys
thank you very much for calling.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. The Treasury Department's expected to announce today the government's hit its debt ceiling. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
We are in an economy right now that is teetering on the edge of recession. So this could cause tremendous tumult and could push us further into a recession.
The Santa Fe district attorney set to announce whether charges will be brought in a shooting on the set of the movie Rust. A gun went off in Alec Baldwin's hand and killed cinematographer Halina Hutchins. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
Today's decision comes just 3 months after Baldwin and his fellow producers reached a settlement with Hutchins' family. The deal will allow production to resume sometime this month.
Customs officials are reporting record food seizures at the southern border.
We get a lot of people that are bringing eggs and raw poultry products from Mexico, and those are prohibited.
Americans have been dealing with egg shortages and skyrocketing prices. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnier with your headlines. The psychedelic chemical found in magic mushrooms is being used in two new clinical trials at the University of Madison to help researchers better understand how psilocybin can be used to treat opioid and meth addictions. Studies have already shown that therapy in conjunction with psilocybin can help in curbing dependence on alcohol, tobacco, and cocaine. Oregon became the first state to legalize adult use of the drug on January 1st. The Cap Times reports the studies at UW Madison will also track whether the treatment worsens a patient's addiction. A body found in Monroe County Wednesday could be that of Felicia J. Wana, who's been missing since December 29th. The Ho-Chunk Police Department said in a statement the 50-year-old has a history of mental health concerns. The Monroe County Sheriff's Department says the death investigation is ongoing. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in your mind, Gina Beauclair?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in your mind, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
People ask how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
At 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. If you're just joining us, my guest is my good friend Jim Santillo. He is a former U.S. attorney appointed by then President Barack Obama. He's in his own practice now. But we're talking about a whole array of things. And Jim, you hear people saying government. We don't need government. Good government is what we need, right? Nobody can say, and you and I were talking about off the air, what makes this nation different is the government of our country, right?
And absolutely.
What it, and the depth of it and what it can offer. Right. But it has to be righteous in what it does. You were saying what?
Sure. So again, you've got all of those rules and regulations. So we've got a constitution, right? We've got statutes that are passed by the Congress, the Civil Rights Act of the 1960s. Again, still not completely flourishing in terms of their anticipated result, but things that change America, employment, healthcare, education, all that comes from governments saying, you know what, we need to do better. Even the OSHA matter we're talking about right. This morning, that comes out of a sense of government is responsible to whom? To its people, right? Not to something beyond, not to them itself, but to its people. And so when I hear, as Jacob said early on, you know, that no one should be elected if you say that government is the problem, I couldn't agree more. That government is not perfect, once again, but it's also a result of human beings, right? We can have all the statutes and all the regulations in the world. If you don't elect the right people, if you don't appoint the right people, whether it's a U.S. attorney or a congresswoman or a senator or a president or ultimately a Supreme Court justice, look what happens. And so government is a reflection of both regulations and the written word. Legal things often, but it's also every single generation. It's a reflection of the people we send to government. And there's a real sense, Earl, you know, you speak about this all the time, I know, that if you're not happy with government, you're the one to blame because you haven't voted. You haven't voted for the people who properly represent you. And you're the one who's responsible to ensure that those people in Washington, in Madison, other places around the country, take on your rights and responsibilities and advance them in a way that is in your best interests.
You know, the older I get, Jim, the more I realize just how complex our government is and the system, and that every aspect of our lives, government plays a role in it. And so we can clearly talk as if, you know, we can do all these things without government. Anytime you get on an airplane and get to wherever it is you're going,
right.
And you're up in the air, and you have no control over what's going on there. And yes, a big sky, but there are a lot of things up there with you.
Absolutely.
And yet you get back down to where you are, and over again, that's government.
And absent the FAA, right, the Federal Aviation Administration, in the wake of something that happened in North Carolina in the early part of the 20th century, when a couple of guys named Wright first figured out how to get in the air, all that put in place to ensure that really the only decision you've got to make is whether you want cranberry juice or Coca-Cola, right? Everything else is subject to the FAA saying you've got to be seat belted in. You can't be walking around just randomly. You got to do all those other things that, again, sometimes we've seen recently people respond too badly, and we got those instances of people acting up badly on planes. What is the response to that? They will be in trouble, right? Sometimes the planes are turned around and brought back down, and they can be arrested because they're not following the laws and the rules and regulations to the benefit of all the rest
well,
of us,
the
right?
Fact
right?
that the planes themselves,
right.
some of them aged,
right,
some of them brand new. But it doesn't matter whether it's the brand new plane or the age plane. You rarely hear of accidents.
Right.
As much as we're up there, that's all government.
Right.
But the other part of it is we see military. That's government. We see that part of government,
absolutely.
And we're okay with that.
Right.
But
right.
all the rest of it.
Right.
We're not.
Right. And even get back to the airplane again. It's just what does the FAA do? All sorts of rules and regulations, again, that we do not see when you go to the airports, requiring reviews of the structural integrity of this plane that's been in the air, whether it's for 5 months or 5 years, all kinds of things about fueling, how people on the ground behave. That's all to keep us safe and secure. And then, as you say, we've got other things that are very visible because we think we know about the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, Marines, and the Coast Guard, all those entities. And yet, even there, there. All of that is regulated. Obviously, you've got a Joint Chiefs of Staff. You've got a Pentagon, right? There are rules and regulations for not only how the military is conducting itself, how it spends its money. Again, as we all know, a huge amount of money, the greatest amount of money in our annual budget. All of that is also regulated. Again, perhaps too much money, some would say, but nonetheless, a part of the government attempt to ensure that it is that money is spent in a fiscally responsible way. And again, we've had stories when it is not, that becomes an appropriate scandal, right? If something happens, if the Pentagon is spending money on something frivolous, we respond to that badly and say, you know what, government needs to correct that, and it didn't do it right in the first place.
That's why I preface good government. Mm-hmm. Because what I consider bad government is the fact that we look at people being slaughtered in this country, and yet AR-15s AK-47s are legal.
At the top of the list, right? This is one where government can come in. And we know, to get on again that very appropriate angle this morning, we know that some of those regulations work. Why? Because as to automatic weapons in this country, we had a ban for 10 years. And you know what happened? The amounts of mass casualties, mass shootings, declined dramatically. It sunsetted, it went away, and the numbers went up again. In those states that have things like background checks and all the other things that are in place, emergency orders for people who might be subject to mental illnesses that may cause them, all those kinds of things, in those places that those are in effect, where government, locally, statewide, imposes them, they work. And we've got safety. And so one of the great frustrations I know that you and I, Earl, and your listeners also have is we know what's working. And there is a situation where our elected representatives in the Congress, yes, they passed something of a firearms bill last year, didn't really address the larger issues. We need to insist upon those representatives saying your responsibility is to us, ban these kinds of horrific weapons of war, keep us safer, ensure that we're doing those things nationwide that can ensure our safety and security. And if you don't do that, that's the bad government that we're talking about. And that's why people should be rising up and saying, I demand more from my government.
Let's go to the phone lines. Tom from L.A. All right, Tom, what's going on?
All right, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, Jim, I have a question, or Earl, I have a question. Back when Ronald Reagan really poisoned the water and said the government is the problem, I wasn't around back then, or I was very young, but was there any pushback from anyone that, no, government is good, that government is we the people, that government is just like what you're talking about right now, which is, I think, something that we need to be expressing every day, the difference between private and public, and talking about, you know, the good that government does. Did anyone push back with Reagan when he said that? Because to me, if I would have been a little bit more, you know, astute at that time, I would have said, look, you're talking about me when you say government can't do anything right. Because you're talking about me. I'm the government. So why people fell for his deal and the 40 years of Reaganomics that we've had to live with since then, because FDR was definitely, you know, the best president, in my opinion, ever. And I wish that we could, I just don't understand. I'm just trying to figure out, did we push back? Did anyone push back on that sentiment and say, no, government is good?
Well, so at the time, Tom, this movement was starting to take place in this country, the conservative movement, and Ronald Reagan came at the right time for people who, for whatever reason, had enough of what they felt were, you know, government giveaways. You know, welfare was talked about a lot, and people pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps. And somehow that conversation really dwarfed, I think, common sense. The government was being used to help lazy people who didn't want to work, and people who became frustrated with that thought the government was fostering that and being a major part of it. But Jim,
I remember I was in law school at that time, so we had these discussions. And I think Earl, as you're saying very articulately, and Tom, your point as well, there was pushback on it. It was drowned out by this very strong view that government is the problem. I will get government out of your life, is what Ronald Reagan said. Remember also, when was this happening? He defeated, I think, one of the great presidents who is still alive. His name is Jimmy Carter,
no question.
Who should have had a second term.
One of the best
human beings, right. Probably in the White House. And Jimmy Carter was one of those fellows who said, you know what, I do care about human beings. I'm going to make a government work. A Naval Academy graduate, a guy who understood as governor of the state of Georgia, understood the things that government could do and was doing that kind of thing. And Ronald Reagan came upon the scene and said, no, he's wrong. And we're going to seize on this opportunity to convince the American people that government is the problem. And regrettably, Tom, at the time, a majority of people... Ronald Reagan fairly decisively won the Electoral College, won the popular vote, and as you just said, set us off in 40 years of going down that road. We are long overdue. Not only pushing back at that time, there were those voices who said, no, no, government does good things, but we are still living in the wake of that. Far, far beyond time now to say, you know what, that was mistaken. Whether it's Reaganomics, all these other things that go beyond economics, time to come back and say government has a role to play as we're talking this morning. It can be very beneficial. It helps people. I believe that strongly. Earl believes that strongly. And again, representative government, not government out of control, but government that is responsive to us. It affects every single part of our lives to the good. I remember, too, again, going back to my own history, I was in high school when I read a thing called The Jungle by Upton Sinclair, this a novel about the Chicago meatpacking industry. It was fiction.
I remember the Chicago meatpacking industry.
And it had an impact because people said, oh, my goodness, this is really going on. Some of it may have been dramatized. Slaughterhouses, right? And they came back and said, we got to make certain the kinds of things Earl talked about in the first segments here, kind of make certain those are remedied. When people bring those things to the attention of government, it does happen. It does get remedied. Again, I'll use the word a fifth time this morning, imperfectly, maybe not right away, but that's the role that government plays in those areas. And again, cannot overemphasize the civil rights, the importance of the Voting Rights Act, the Fair Housing Act, all these kinds of things, and employment and access to academics and to economics as well. All those things, a product of the 1960s legislation, Brown versus Board of Education, other things, Brown too, that ensures that we've got schools where the person who's sitting to my left and my right may not look exactly like I do, and that notion that is a good thing that comes from government, in this case the courts, interpreting our Constitution in the way that it has.
Tom, quickly.
And Jim, do you think that because of even during Reagan's time, that's when really with Buckley versus Vallejo and First National Bank versus Bilotti, that the money in politics started rearing its head, and that's basically what is destroyed through Citizens United, that money in politics is what's really destroyed We the People government?
A lot of those cases, again, giving that authority to people outside government and therefore permitting things like money to enter into our political scheme in the way that it has. Absolutely.
Tom, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you, Earl.
Hang on the lines. We'll be coming to you after the break. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is Jim Santillo. He is my colleague here at Civic Media Radio. We'll be right back.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. That's wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 37. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance of snow showers. Lows dip down to about 26. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Highs level off around 30. A dusting of snow tonight with another inch Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Jim Santeel. He's a former U.S. attorney for the state of Wisconsin, appointed by then-President Barack Obama. He's in his own law practice now, but I certainly consider him a friend, and he is a colleague here at Civic Radio. Let's go to CJ from Stoughton. CJ.
Thanks for taking my call, Earl and James. James won't take my call anymore. But
we've always taken your phone calls. Well, CJ, I've said to you, why?
I've called you many times on Saturday.
Listen, man, I've said to you.
You refuse to.
I understand why, man. You changed the subject. But let's see if you'll stay on.
Well, okay. Here's the subject. James conveniently forgot to mention one of the reasons why Ronald Reagan got elected and said government is the problem are very similar to the same conditions of this, the now worst president ever. What's the inflation rate? At a 40-year high again, because of the same policies this president used as Jimmy Carter that has driven up inflation.
What were those policies?
Killed our economy.
What were those policies?
Look at the interest rates. The only way to get inflation down by incredible spending and a record spending.
Let me say this to you, CJ. What created the interest rate issue in Jimmy Carter's time? Do you know?
The same thing.
No, what's
the same thing? Inflation.
Do you remember
when I bought my first house?
Do you remember the
Jimmy
oil
Carter
embargo?
Was president. You asked me a question. Jimmy Carter was president. Interest rates. You know what it was when I bought my first house? 18.5%.
You know I was around.
We're headed that way.
You know I was around.
Yeah.
Man. Absolutely, I know. That's why I
know you were.
That's why I asked you what created that interest rate, right?
Out of control spending.
No. It was the oil embargo.
Out of control spending that Larry Summers, a Democrat, promised that was going to happen. Drive up inflation.
So this is kind of why.
I'm mad at the Republicans, too, Earl.
This is kind of why people
don't have them on, because you keep saying the same exact things.
Okay. Because, again, you are blaming Jimmy Carter, not understanding the oil embargo and what took place at that point in time. You've totally dismissed that, or you're just not aware of it.
Thank you
very much for the call. Let's go to Dave from Macwood. Hey, Dave, what's going on, man? You say what? Dave?
Jimmy Carter, what CJ failed to mention with Jimmy Carter is this. Richard Nixon, along with Gerald Ford, Nixon is the one who put in price controls specifically for gasoline. And consequently, Ford made it worse. He actually said that he was going to beat it, and he actually made it worse. And Jimmy Carter kept it in place right up to the very end, up until 1980. By that time, it was too late for Jimmy Carter, and he recognized that, maybe we should not, have price controls in place anymore. And then Ronald Reagan, the first month in office, he finished that off. So that is where the government did fail the American people by trying to put price controls. And Jimmy Carter did not learn from his two predecessors before him that did not work. And it actually made things much worse, and it compounded itself. And that was the result of what you saw back in the 1970s.
Right. And Dave, this is Jim again, just to reaffirm the importance of what you're saying, which is how important it is to know about history, right? As Earl with the previous caller was demonstrating, the importance of understanding, and again, history is a complicated thing, right? You can't look back and say, well, I think Earl's exactly right about the oil issue, but a very complicated situation coming out of the 1970s, the 1980s, all sorts of factors happening. But to be accurate about the past also defines the present, and being able to learn from that. Again, that's also a part of good government, right? And I think that's your point as well, Dave. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so, like I said, she had three presidents in a row that kept that in place, and it just got exponentially worse. And like I said, that's why Ford lost. I mean, Ford lost because he was going to stamp out inflation, and he was going to bring gas prices lower, and he just kept in place what Nixon kept in place.
So, Dave, before we get too far away from what we were talking about, I only brought that up because CJ, again, was trying to take us somewhere else. Your thoughts about government and why it's important.
Well,
your business.
It's important in the it's important for the simple reason that, yes, there's a lot of different entities, be it local, state, or federal. I don't think they work in conjunction as well as they should. I think that there should be better communication between the three, because obviously local and state and federal obviously have different roles. And sometimes I do think the frustration is this, and you look at the rural communities, and you talked about the other day, opportunities in the city of Milwaukee. Well, the rural communities are in the same boat. The rural communities are having issues, and a lot of time the federal government allocates a lot of the money, let's be honest, towards the urban larger areas. Very little goes to the smaller communities, smaller towns that you see around the country. And there's a reason why it's called flyover country for a reason. So you literally have all this federal money that's being reallocated towards the coast, the East Coast and the West Coast. The Midwest gets very little in return in comparison to what the population centers on the East and West Coast.
Could it be that that's where the majority of the people are, and that's why the resources are what they are? Because that's where the majority of the population is?
Well, you look at, Texas is the second largest state population-wise after California. Florida, obviously, is third largest now, I believe. And so you do have this, but you have this idea that, the Midwest, for whatever reason, yes, there aren't as many people, but it's not as dramatic as people think it is. There's a lot of people that are spread out throughout the U.S., obviously.
So, listen, we've got to go to a break. All you guys on the phone lines, hang on. My guest is Jim Santillo, and he's agreed to hang around a little while longer, and I'm glad he has.
Delighted to be with you, Earl.
Yeah. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Oh, no, feel it. Oh, no.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights 8 to 10.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.